I will look to the Lord in prayer. Grace Master, we seek your presence and your blessing even at this hour as we meditate upon your word. We pray that we might be receptive to your word even as we consider a man who has devoted his life in service of thine, whose life inspires each one of us and calls us into obedience of your word. And to that extent we commit our words this morning. We offer this prayer in Jesus' precious name. Amen. The text that I wanted to speak this morning from is already read to you, Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 to 24. As I told you last week, if you note the text that I am speaking from, it will be easier for you to follow the message. I would also like to place before you a second text to introduce the person that we are talking about. That is found in Acts chapter 16, Acts 16 verses 1 to 5. And I would read it for you. Acts chapter 16 verses 1 to 5. Paul came to Derbe and Lystra, where a follower named Timothy lived. Timothy's mother was Jewish and a believer, but his father was a Greek. The believers in Lystra and Iconium respected Timothy and said good things about him. Paul wanted to take Timothy to travel with him, but all the people living in that area knew that Timothy's father was Greek. So Paul circumcised Timothy to please his mother's people. Paul and those with him traveled from town to town and gave the decisions made by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. So the churches became stronger in faith and grew larger every day. In a Sunday school class, a Sunday school teacher was teaching children about the importance of prayer. And the teacher asked the children in the class, how many of them have a practice of praying regularly? A couple of children raised their hands and said, we pray. There was one boy in the class not raising his hand or not enthusiastic about this question. When the teacher inquired him as why he did not raise his hand, he said, am I a girl to pray? I am not a girl to pray. And the teacher wondered why. Because the boy said, my father never prayed. At my home, the one who always prayed was my mother. You must have got the story that it was the practice of that Christian home that the father never prayed openly before the child. Therefore, the child got the impression that prayer means something that mothers do. I think there are many homes like that where Christian virtues are not practiced the way it should be, or where the parents are not fully committed to Christian lifestyle or Christian life, where there is a kind of division of things at home where children get a mixed message. I also have a story to tell you. This is a real thing that happened in a church service. A mother came to service late. When she came in, the Lord's Supper was already done with, and it was the time for the offering. As the offering bag was passed, the mother opened her wallet and took some cash and began to put into the offering bag. Immediately, the three-year-old boy caught hold of her hand and said, Mommy, you didn't eat this morning, then why are you paying for it? The boy thought that immediately after the eating of the bread and drinking of the wine, you will have to pay something every Sunday. That's why a bag is passed on where you put something there as a payment. How many of you take it seriously that you need to explain your faith to your children? And this is the best time that you have with them. If you think of impacting their life in any way, it is the childhood or it is the teenage time that you can do something about it. And the kind of influence that you exercise on your children is going to determine largely what kind of a person that person is going to become. Therefore, it is sufficient to point out to you this morning that the life of Timothy, about whom we are going to consider, is a challenge to every Christian parent for Christian parenting. It is a challenge for every young man to be devoted to things that are spiritual. It is a challenge for the culture in which we live, that where there are people steadfastly holding to the faith that is in Christ Jesus, people can impact that culture and bring forth a faith that shall sustain all tests of time and philosophies. Therefore, my dear friends, let me call upon your hearts once again this morning, as people who have been called to worship, that we have a responsibility of nurturing people in the things of God, in the things that are pertaining to the kingdom. And that commitment is primarily given to those of us who have families and also those of us who are part of a Christian congregation. Now, I would like to present before you three aspects of Timothy. The first one is that of him as a man of a godly heritage. Secondly, I want to place before you Timothy as a man of spiritual persuasion, a man of spiritual desires. And thirdly, I want to present Timothy as a man of a divine call and commission. Not only that he is called and commissioned, but also he is a man who is fully committed to the cause of Christ. And even if you didn't get anything else, please remember these things. Timothy as a man of godly heritage, and Timothy as a man of spiritual desires, a man who wanted to grow spiritually, and Timothy as a man commissioned by the Lord Jesus Christ to take care of his church. First of all, let me talk to you about Timothy as a man with a godly heritage. If at all there was any person wanting to have an excuse to be excused from Christian things, if at all there was any person who wanted to have a freedom to live the way he wanted to live, it was Timothy. You know why? Because Timothy came from a single parent home. Probably his father died during his childhood. And he was a son of a mixed marriage. His father was a Greek and mother was a Jewish. And Timothy had enough freedom to pursue the things that he wanted to pursue as an young lad. But we see in God's word that Timothy's atmosphere at home was very, very different from many homes of his times. Paul comments Timothy of his godly heritage, in which Paul says that you have been instructed in the word by the help of your mother and your grandmother, and you are a man of faith, the faith that was first in your grandmother and then faith that was in your mother. Now people believe, and it is probable to think, that Timothy must have been a convert of Paul, because during Paul's first missionary journey, Paul visited Lystra, which is the hometown of Timothy. And probably, Timothy as an young lad listened to Paul's message and he was converted. And we also have a text in 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 11 saying, Paul saying that you are an eyewitness to my sufferings in Lystra and in Iconium. Therefore, it is probable to believe that Timothy was a convert of Paul, or he was a participant into the missionary affairs of Paul in Lystra. Now, let me just point out to you this particular truth. Timothy had an advantage of being born in a family with where God was revered, where God's word was read and taught. We read of this man that in 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 15, Paul says, as a young man, you need to read the word, but you have been instructed in the word, you have been taught the word from your childhood. And therefore, Timothy, you have to adhere to God's word, because God's word is inspired. It is good for doctrine, it is good for correction, it is good for godly living. And it's not something new to you, Timothy. It is something that you have been brought up with. So here is an advantage for Timothy, having been exposed to spiritual things. But Christian heritage do not guarantee anyone to become a Christian automatically. I come from a family or a heritage where we say that we are Christians for 2000 years. If you go to my state in India and ask some people, when are you saved or when were you saved? Are you a Christian? You would offend their Christian consciences, because they say there was no time when we were not a Christian, and there was no time when I can remember specifically as a point in time where I made a commitment to Christ. I lived all through my life as a Christian. My parents and grandparents and everyone in the family has been Christian. Now that's not what Bible says. Bible doesn't automatically make anyone Christian. You have to personally exercise your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is not something that I should preach to you, but this is a reminder that Timothy became a Christian not by virtue of being born in a God-fearing family, but because of the fact that he accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. Therefore, that was the beginning of his Christian journey. And then we see of this person that he was a man commended by his church, or he was a man of a good reputation in his church. If you read verse 16 of Acts, the passage that was read to you, we read there that the believers in Lystra and Iconium respected Timothy. Why did the people respect Timothy? Now this happens before Timothy joined the team of Paul. This would have been after a few years of his conversion. Now, between the time of his conversion, or to put it in another way, between the first and the second journeys of Paul, Timothy, having been a convert, was living already a Christian life commendable before people. He was living his faith already in his church, among his people. This is an application for me and for you, that when God calls someone, he can call people from any background. But at the same time, when God calls you and gives you a vision and commitment to the cause of the gospel, God calls you in such a way that you bear a Christian conviction, and that you have a Christian testimony, and that you have already been useful in some ways in your local assembly. This is true of many instances of people, that God called people from local assemblies where young people have been useful in some ways. They maintained a good Christian testimony. They have been participant in things that are small or big, but they were already involved in the things of God. Now here is Timothy, having been sin again or having been able to have a personal contact with Paul. Now when Paul came to Lystra, here is Paul hearing the good reports about Timothy. But I believe that it was not only the good report he heard of Timothy that Paul wanted to take him, because Paul already had a problem. He did part with Barnabas. And now he had to take a new companion with him, Silas. And Paul would have been very careful to invite somebody into his team. Don't you think so? And so Paul would have been very spiritually discerning the person that he wants to invite into his team. And therefore, the mere good report people talked about Timothy wasn't sufficient for Paul to get him into the team. I believe, and it is true from the rest of the record about Timothy, that Paul was impressed with this person's spiritual vigor, this person's passion for souls, and this person's commitment to Christ. There was nothing else needed for Paul to invite Timothy, this young man, an young lad, into his team. Someone was asking me, what do you think, what would have been, the age of Timothy at that time? I cannot calculate, but I tend to believe that he must have been a teenager or in his early youthful years. And between Paul and Timothy, there was a great gap. Now here is Apostle Paul inviting an young man, an young Christian, to his team. Timothy, a man of great Christian heritage, a great spiritual heritage, but Timothy, a man who exercised his faith in Christ Jesus, a man who was already being involved in the affairs of his local church, a man who bore good Christian testimony in his local church. And now Timothy is going to be with Apostle Paul. Perhaps it was an accidental, or it would have been a brief meeting for Timothy with Paul. But what started as a brief meeting ended up as a lifelong acquaintance and a lifelong commitment for and partnership with Paul for the gospel. That as the years went by, between Paul and Timothy, there has been the blending of the hearts, where Paul could rightfully say, Timothy is my son. Timothy is my spiritual son. And Paul uses such qualifications as, he is my beloved son. And he is the son that I have born in faith. And I have none like Timothy. Paul talks about Demas, who went into the world. Paul talks about Alexander, who caused great harm to him and his ministry. But Paul says, I have none like Timothy. This is a challenge to your hearts, my dear brothers and sisters, in this congregation. That it is within the Christian congregation that you identify Timothy's. It is from and within the Christian congregation that God raises leadership. When Paul invited Timothy to join his team for missionary visits, no one knew what this Timothy was going to become. Nobody knew. And you do not know what the person sitting next to you is going to become. Do you know that Billy Graham once attended this congregation? When somebody from this congregation, if I am right, or somebody from Wheaton, when somebody recognized that Billy Graham had a gift of preaching, that person wanted to encourage Billy Graham in preaching the word. Billy Graham didn't have a car at that time. So this man of great vision told Billy Graham, "Billy, you go ahead and arrange meetings or accept meetings wherever you have an opportunity. And I am willing to drive you there. I am willing to take you there." Before Billy Graham became a world famous evangelist, he was already preaching in Wheaton, in the surroundings of Wheaton, as an undergrad student. Do you recognize a potential Timothy next to you? Do we have men like Paul who would encourage young Timothys? And that is a challenge even as we continue to consider Timothy. Secondly, I want to talk to you about Timothy as a man of spiritual desires, a man of spiritual passion. I have already told you that his spiritual passion and spiritual life attracted Paul. And he already got a commendation from his people. And now that Timothy is going to enter into a very special relationship with Apostle Paul. And I want to call that relationship as a relationship of a spiritual mentorship. Here is an young man, new in faith, but wanting to grow in faith. Here is an young man wanting to learn the word. Here is an young man who is wanting to hear from a man of God and to learn from him. And Timothy's whole life is a life of a spiritual mentorship under Apostle Paul. Paul became a role model for Timothy. And Paul challenges Timothy's heart, saying, "Timothy, you follow the patterns, the examples that I have set before you." And later in 2 Timothy, Paul writes, "Timothy, by your word, by your deed, be an example for others." Did Paul know that there will come a time when he will have to hand over his mantle of and his mission to this young Timothy? Did Paul think, or did Paul have that inward vision in which this is the man going to be the one who would take responsibilities for the church of God? I do not know whether Paul had that vision, maybe. But as time went forth, as Timothy was being tested in various circumstances of ministry, it was completely, or it was totally convincing to Paul, saying, "This is the man that I want to hand over my responsibilities. This is the man who should take care of the church of God. This is the man who should hand it over in the faith that has been once for all delivered to the saints." Young Timothy, a life of mentorship. Sometimes reading the two letters of Paul, 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, you get a feeling, I don't know whether you get that feeling, but some people get that feeling. I sometimes got that, now I am out of that feeling. You tend to think that here is Timothy, you know, having certain weaknesses, and that having some youthful lust problems, or here is a timid Timothy, and therefore Paul is encouraging, exhorting him, and giving corrections and reproofs, admonitions, and lot of things. Was he the kind of person Paul wanted? Or, you know, you get a kind of a feeling that Timothy was not a man of, you know, a great stature, but he had a lot of personal problems. It could be true, because no Christian is a product of an instant, you know, a growth or instant salvation. A person, your character is molded, and you become the person yet what you are over the time. And God gives you opportunity to grow. And here is Timothy willing to hear and to learn from Paul. You will have to sit here 2 hours if I want to talk about all the exhortations Paul gives to Timothy. But in nutshell, it is to say, Paul was telling Timothy, Timothy, you as a man of God need to be careful of your life. You need to control your life. You need to learn the scriptures. You need to allow God's word to rule over your life. Let all that pertains to you be controlled by the word of God and its scrutiny. And therefore, here is a good quality that we see in Timothy. How many of you want to get into that kind of relationship with someone in faith? Are you willing to be a mentor to someone in your congregation? You must be a person who is matured in faith. But you have a responsibility to nurture someone in faith. How many of you young people are wanting to learn from people who have grown in faith? The Lord has taught me that. I can remember the way in which God taught me things. And sometimes when I talk these things, it is with great passion that I talk to you. This morning I have the honor of having my parents here. My father, who is in ministry 40 years. Okay. And you know who was my spiritual mentor? It was my grandfather. My grandfather was the one who introduced me to Christ. He was my mentor. Whenever I had some theological questions, I went to him. And even I visited him last summer, just few weeks before his death. Thank God for spiritual mentors. From where or from whose ministry we can have young Timothy's. Thirdly, before I conclude, let me present before you Timothy as a man of a man of divine call and commitment. We read of Timothy as a man, part of Paul's ministry. To save the time, I am not reading the scriptures. Among various commitments Paul entrusted to him, he had a commitment to be in Ephesus, particularly to deal with false teachers. He had a commitment in Thessalonica to encourage people who were undergoing suffering there. He had a commitment and a mission to the church at Philippi to encourage them in faith and to exhort them. And he was a part of the collection Paul was taking in Jerusalem. And he was in and through the sufferings of Paul. And Paul says, Timothy, you have seen my pattern. You have seen some of my suffering. You have seen all these things. And you be the one who takes care of the gospel of Christ. There were three basic responsibilities for Timothy to take as a man committed to the cause of Christ. The responsibility for the proclamation of the gospel. The responsibility for the propagation of the gospel. And the responsibility for the defense of the gospel. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and 2. Tells us of Paul's desire for Timothy. In a time where false prophets and false teachers creep into Christian church. In a time where people teach things adding to the grace of God. Here is young Timothy commissioned to rightly divide the word of God. And young Timothy committed to preach the word. Paul says, Timothy, be ready to preach the word in and out of season. Be ready always to preach the gospel. Timothy, you be a man who defend the faith. And you will do it by paying a price, by suffering. Suffer for Christ. I wonder what was for Timothy's mother to commit this young man to Paul when Timothy was commissioned by his local church, ordained by his church. she was committing him to a life of suffering. Christianity was not popular at that time. No Christian minister was paid a four-figure salary at that time. Paul called Timothy to missions, and Timothy committed himself to that cause for the sake of Christ. May the Lord raise up many more people from our midst as St. Timothy's. I thank for Bethany Chapel, which is known for its missionary commitment. We have sent out many people from our congregation, and we need to send out many more. We need to send out young people from our families. Young people, our children, let our children go as missionaries. There is no greater honor than serving Christ. Someone has recently asked me, what is your identification? Because when they ask my background, I say I was a Bible teacher. I taught in Bible schools and theological schools, and now I am in Wheaton College as a student in psychology. They ask me, what is your identification? I said, my identification is that of a servant of Christ. I would never cease to preach God's word. I would never allow anything to control my faith. My faith judges everything that I confront and I deal with. Here I stand. Martin Luther said during the time of Reformation, and we stand on the principles of God's word, and we communicate those principles throughout the generations through young Timothy's. May God give us that talent of other hands. Let there be people who would preserve the integrity, purity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. How blessed it is to know the life of Timothy and his wonderful ministry with Apostle Paul and the instructions that we have drawn from him to live a life that will glorify God and a life that will invest for the cause of the kingdom. Let's pray. Father in heaven, may our lives be something that is useful to you. May we be available to your cause. May we have the obedience to thy word, whereby we will be willing to be the witnesses of your word. Thank you for the wonderful message and the lessons that we have from Timothy. May there be many more Timothys from our midst. May there be many more Pauls from our midst. May the cause of Christ further, and may thy name be exalted. We offer this prayer in Jesus' precious name.